Thank you, choir. Before we get into the sermon text this morning from John 10, I want to take a bit of a detour going way back in Scripture, back in the Bible to Exodus 3. And a lot of you know the story in Exodus 3. It's about Moses and the burning bush. Moses was out tending his father-in-law's sheep out in the wilderness when all of a sudden he saw a bush ignite on fire, and it's there that he had an encounter with God, and God called him to do something incredibly huge. To go to Pharaoh and demand of Pharaoh that the Israelite people be released from slavery. And in this story, there's some back and forth between God and Moses. And at one point, Moses says, okay, suppose I go to the Israelites and tell them that you've sent me to help liberate them. Who do I say has sent me? And God says, tell them, I am who I am. I am has sent you. And Moses, I will be with you because I am. God's name, I am. It's a name like unlike any other name. I am. It's a verb. In Hebrew, it's just four letters, YHWH, and it's unpronounceable. So later on, scribes added vowels to it, from which we get the name Yahweh. I am. I am is the God who revealed himself to Moses and who delivered his people from slavery and led them through the wilderness and eventually to the land he had promised them. I am is the God who many generations later, the very same God, revealed himself in the flesh in Jesus. I am with you, Emmanuel. And brought ultimate deliverance, ultimate salvation to everyone who receives him. The one who has done all this is I am, Yahweh. The reason I'm reaching so far back in Scripture is that this has everything to do with Jesus and the Gospel of John and this text we're going to read this morning. Because in John's telling the story of Jesus, there are a number of times in John's Gospel where Jesus uses that very same name, that very same phrase, I am. I want to go briefly to one of these before we go to the text. In John chapter 8, about halfway through the chapter, there's a dialogue between Jesus and some people who were asking him who he thought he was. It's accusing and it's cynical. Who do you think you are? By what authority are you healing and forgiving and doing miracles and teaching people about God other than the ways that we've taught them? Who do you think you are? And a few verses later in John 8, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. It's a strange statement, isn't it? Before he was born, I am. But what he was doing here was revealing his presence and his power, referring to himself as I am, the very same name God used with Moses. One author rephrases this text like this, with Jesus saying, I am God himself here and now. I always will be, I always have been, and I am with you. Jesus does this in the text we'll read today. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. In John's Gospel, there are five other times where Jesus uses that I am description about himself, connecting it with images for us to grab hold of about who he is and what he does. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the resurrection life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Plus these, I'm the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. So listen now as I read the text from John 10, verses 1 through 11. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The reason I focus on the importance of the I am part of what Jesus said is to make it clear that these images he uses are a lot more than just metaphorical descriptions. They are that, but there is so much more. These reveal his presence and his power. He is God in the flesh. He is God with us to help us, to guide us, to protect us, to call us back from the empty things and empty paths that can destroy us. Jesus, as the good shepherd, the shepherd at the gate, the one leading his sheep to pasture and to cool water, just like we heard from Psalm 23 this morning, this very familiar, comforting psalm. Jesus as our shepherd is one of the warmest and most comforting images we have in the Bible. Those who have been raised learning the Bible, you know that this is one that reaches all the way back. It's one of the earliest images that we have. Jesus as the shepherd. We are the sheep. It's inviting, it's gentle, it's protective, it's comforting. But there's another side to this. Because it's also like a picture painted on a canvas filled with threat. If you page back to what leads up to John chapter 10, opposition to Jesus had been growing and growing. Religious leaders and the keepers of the status quo, they repeatedly took issue with him, like what I mentioned from John 8. Who do you think you are? Teaching and preaching and telling things about God that we haven't been teaching people. And at point after point, increasingly, people were getting in his face and pushing back and claiming that he was lying and leading people astray. And it keeps building so that by the end of chapter 11, there's a plot underway to have him killed. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, people with huge spiritual influence over others and who shaped people's understanding of God, Jesus called them false shepherds. False teachers. He pointed them out in today's text that they are thieves and robbers who try to sneak in another way around the shepherd to get to the sheep. These are the ones, he said, who come only to kill and destroy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, using another sheep image, he gave this warning. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. As gentle and comforting as the sheep shepherd images can be, they rise out of this context that there are predators angling for the sheep, spiritual predators, false teachers, false prophets, false teachings, false hopes, false promises, and they abound. They did then, they do today. Which is why his presence and his power is such a great gift to us day by day by day. He is with us. I am. One other part about this is about sheep. I haven't spent a great deal of time with sheep. I'm an urban suburbanite. Maybe that's true for you too, that you don't have a lot of time with sheep. But the little bit that I do know about sheep is that they mainly spend their time heads down, going from one green clump to the next green clump to the next green clump, not really keeping track of where they are or what's going on around them. And they are prime targets for wolves, for predators. And therefore, they need shepherds to protect them, to watch over them, to guide them, someone who is larger and wiser than they are, to lead them on the best path to the best pasture, the safest route. There's an awful lot in this that applies to today, isn't there? The prophet Isaiah said, "We all, just like sheep, have gone astray. We're all subject to this, going our own way." It's a description of sin. Turning away, heads down, nibbling our way from one thing to the next attractive thing, the next attractive thing. Whatever desire or demand or compulsion or addiction it is that draws us. More drawn to them than we are to the voice of the shepherd who is calling us back, calling us to follow him. And we are all subject to this, to these other things. The false teachers, the false promises, the false hopes, packaged in all kinds of different ways. But the good news here, and the good news throughout Scripture, is about the presence and the power of Jesus. The I am voice coming through Jesus. There are good shepherd who promises life that is abundant and full. "I've come," he says, "that you may have life and have it to the full." Or as is paraphrased in the Message, "I've come for you to have real life and eternal life, more and better than you've ever dreamed of." One of the most significant, abiding, spiritual influences in my life, a shepherding influence, is my mom, Elaine Johnson. She is not the only one, by any means. But she's been the most abiding one from my very first breath, from before my first breath, to today. Gentle, thoughtful, consistent, abiding. And it seems fitting to mention this on this Mother's Day, but it's a lot more than just about her. As I went on a long wander away from faith, from Jesus, from the church, from the ways that I'd been brought up with, very much like a wandering sheep, head down, getting full of mud and nettles and going further and further astray, she, along with my dad, they kept at it. Faithful prayers, faithful witnesses, faithfully loving, faithfully being there, and most of all, faithful to the one to whom they had given me in baptism all those years before. And I knew that, even as I brazenly walked away. I knew that as far as I might wander, that they were still praying for me. They were still loving me. They were still longing for me to come back to the one who they knew would give me full life and one day eternal life. Back to the one who was saying to me, "Tim, I am with you. I am with you as your shepherd. I am the way to full life and rich life, to rich pasture. I have plans and a path for you that is unlike anything you will find anywhere else. Come and follow." And it took years before I finally did. I don't want to dismiss the role of my dad by any means. He was the larger personality and the more public presence. And he was the one that I would go head to head with, debating about the existence of God and the reality of faith and everything else. But it was my mom, and it still is my mom, who's been that gentle, gentle, steady, constant presence from the very beginning. In her own unique ways, she's been what you could call a beautiful, faithful under-shepherd. Faithfully praying for and pointing to people right to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, including her own family. She is soon to be 87, and as some of you know, she's dealing with dementia. The scope of her life and her energy and her memory is now much, much more limited. And a lot of the past is now a blur, as are a lot of names and faces. Details are gone, a lot of them. But despite that awful thieving that dementia does, here's where things are so very clear for her. And where her footing is remarkably strong and where she's nimble. In Scripture, and in devotional reading, and in prayer. And when we talk, the area where she is the clearest, where her strength is the greatest at 87 and with dementia, is about faith in Jesus Christ. When she prays, when she prays, it's a conversation on a whole different level. And what she prays for her children and our spouses and her 9 grandchildren and her soon-to-be 5 great-grandchildren, even if the names now escape her and she doesn't remember who belongs to whom, she prays that we would all know Jesus. She doesn't so much pray about the decisions we have to make or for safety on the road or for health. She goes right to the core of things. Praying the promises of God in Christ. Praying those things that are truest and most solid and most lasting of all. She's an under-shepherd. Of the Good Shepherd. She's a faithful, abiding servant to the one whose presence and power continues to fill her with genuine joy and hope. I don't mean this to be about my mom. She wouldn't like that at all. I mean it to be about the fruit born in a faithful life and the people you know like this. All because of the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's all about Him who can draw back the most wandering, most muddy, nettle-filled sheep and bring full life and eternal life. I hope and I pray that you know Him like this. His presence and His power full of promise for today. So I'll close with this. Something that Leslie Newbegin wrote about 40 years ago. He was a British pastor who went to India for years and years as a missionary and then came back to England and found that the spiritual life in England was so limp and dead compared to what he had been living in India. So among many other things, he wrote this as a confession of faith for his people. He wrote, "I have been laid hold of by one greater than I." What an amazing way to put it. I have been laid hold of by one greater than I and led into a place where I can find no other way of making sense of my own life or the life of this world except through being an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. Laid hold of. Are you there? Are you laid hold of? By this one who is greater than I, greater than you, the Good Shepherd, the I am God of eternity, who's come to us in Jesus Christ, laid hold of by his power and his presence, the one who shepherds us and leads us in paths of righteousness. If you're not, I pray that this would be a day of new beginnings. And if you are, if you can say, yes, he has laid hold of me, then I pray that you are under-shepherding somebody else, even just one or many, to be shepherding people, pointing them to this one who has life and forgiveness and fullness of life. Our good shepherd is what he calls us to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, for your call upon our lives to be our shepherd, our great shepherd, in all the ways that you lead us, Lord, help us to know this is all about you and not about us. And that the role you give us is to point other people to you, to do all that we can in prayer, in word, in deed, through living as you command us to live, to love each other, to love one another, to love our enemies, and to do this actively, all for your glory. We commit each other and our right and our left, before and behind us, into your hands, and pray that your will would be done. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.